I got some good news for you today. How many here can stand some good news? All right. The message is this. You are a diamond to God. You are a diamond to God, friend. Here to tell you today that maybe 2009 was a tough year for you. Maybe it was a year full of challenges. Maybe it was a year of hardships. Maybe you were diagnosed with physical illness in your body. Maybe in 2009 there was a broken relationship that was not mended, that should have been mended. Maybe in 2009 you needed a job but didn't get the job, or a better paying job and you didn't get it. I don't know what 2009 held for you. Maybe you were stuck in depression and you were needing God's joy, God's comfort, and you never reached your goal in 2009. But I'm here to tell you that today that 2010 can be better for you. God has got something better in store for you this year, something better for you this year than you had last year. A better assignment, a better goal. He's got a destiny for your life, a purpose and a plan. Don't let anybody or anything tell you differently. And here's the word I want to share with you today. You've got to listen to this. In order to accomplish or to get the better thing that God has for you this year, you have got to see yourself in a positive light. You've got to feel good about yourself. If you don't feel good about yourself, if you don't see yourself in a positive light, you might be stuck this year where you were last year. You've got to feel good about yourself if you're going to go forward with the better thing that God has for your life in 2010. What does the Word of God say in Proverbs 23:7? The Word of God says in Proverbs 23:7 that as a man thinketh in his heart, a woman thinks in her heart, so is he. The way you think about yourself, friend, will be the way you act toward yourself. You agree with that? It all starts with the mind. The way you think about yourself will be the way you act toward yourself. Maybe as a child, growing up, a little baby, growing up, maybe you were talked down upon by a grandparent or a parent or an uncle or a sister, a brother, and they told you that you were a mistake. Maybe they told you you were an accident going somewhere to happen, that you would never amount to anything, that you could never do anything useful with your hands. And so maybe this person in your life verbally abused you and made you feel real small, just like this. Or maybe it was in an adult relationship, maybe with a spouse who verbally abused you and made you feel really small. And so you find yourself years later today with these same negative words resounding in your mind. And you're trying to go forward with your life, but as you try to go forward, those negative words resound in your mind. Let me tell you here today that whoever spoke those negative words over your life were being inspired of the devil. Jesus said that the devil in John 8:44 is a liar and the father of lies. So every time those words try to come back into your mind, rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Here's good news. God thinks the world of you. God thinks the world of you. How many here know that a diamond is the most precious of stones? Especially a well-cut diamond, a clear diamond, is a very expensive stone. Guess what? You are a diamond in the eyes of God. The better news is that you are worth more than all the diamonds in this world combined to God. He thinks so much of you. Say it with me today.
I am a diamond to God.
You know, I've heard people say this before. You know, this person is worth $500,000. Or this person is worth $2 million. That person is worth $5 million. Bill Gates is worth $40 billion, more or less. Isn't that a shame that here in America, people equate people's value with dollar signs, with money? That's sad, isn't it? Or you might hear some people say, man, this person is the leader of this corporation. Or this person is the leader of this nation. This president is a VIP, very important, because he's got influence. Well, guess what, friends? You are just as valuable in the eyes of God as the richest person on the face of this earth. In the eyes of God, you are just as valuable as the most influential president in this world. Do you agree with that today? The Word of God says in Acts 10:34 that God does not show favoritism. God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. Look to your left and right today. Guess what? To your left and to your right, you've got a VIP sitting next to you. Say to that person, you're a VIP.
You're a VIP.
A very important person. All right. I want to talk about some of the biblical reasons today as to why you have such great worth in the eyes of God. Some of the biblical reasons as to why you are so valuable to God, as to why you are a diamond in the eyes of God. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 1. If you don't, I'll read it to you. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. Some of the biblical reasons for your great worth. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move on the ground." Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So why are you so valuable to God? Guess why? It's right there. We just read it. Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Because you're created in the image of God. Every single person of the 6 billion plus people on this earth are created in the image of God. The person in India, as well as the person in Tulsa, is created in the image of God. The person living up north, south, east, and west, they are all created in the image of an all-powerful God. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? What does it mean personally to you that you're created in the image of God? What does it mean? It means that part of God is on the inside of each and every single one of us. In a spiritual sense, in a figurative sense, listen to this. You are flesh of God's flesh and bone of God's bone. Part of God is on the inside of you. How many here have a child that you love, or a child? Maybe you don't have a child. Maybe you've got a niece, a nephew, somebody that you share blood with. Okay? And say that you're at your wit's end. You have no resources, no money. And this child or this loved one calls you from another state, another city, and says, "Man, I hate to tell you this, but I'm out of money. I don't have food for the next week. I'm going to starve." And this child tells you, this loved one tells you, "But, you know, I noticed my neighbor the other day with sacks of groceries. And I asked him if he could help me, you know, donate me some groceries or some money. He just turned away and ignored me." You love that loved one. How would it make you feel on the inside if your loved one was ignored in his time of need? It would crush you on the inside. Why? Because that loved one is flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. You share blood with that person. And so when that loved one is hurt, it's like your heart is being hurt. It's the same way with God. You know, when we hurt somebody, we're hurting the heart of God himself. Why? Because part of God is on the inside of that person. On the other hand, take the opposite scenario. Say that your loved one calls you and says, "You know what? I was out of food. I was going to starve for the next week or two. And, you know, I saw my neighbor and he donated all his groceries to me. And now I've got food." That would overjoy you on the inside, wouldn't it? Why? Because you share blood with that person. You love that person. When that loved one, that child, that niece, that nephew is helped that way, it feels like you're being helped, right? Because part of you is on the inside of that person. Is that making sense today? And it's the same way with God, friends. And when we reach out to you guys here at the Day Center, it's like we're reaching out to God. When you reach out to somebody in greater need than yourself, guess what? You are touching the very heart of God himself. Amen? Because part of God is on the inside of each and every single one of us. Now, who is the MVP? The most valuable being, the MVB. The most valuable being in the universe. Jesus, okay? And God, the Father, creator of heaven and earth. And if God is an MVB, the most valuable being, and we're created in his image, what does that make you and me? It makes us very, very valuable. Amen? So don't let anybody tell you differently that you're worth nothing. They're liars. They're being inspired of the enemy. You are worth so much to God. You are a very important person. Say it with me today. I am. A VIP. In the eyes of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the one reason as to why you're of such great worth is, number one, because you are created in what? The image of God. Part of God is on the inside of you. That's right. The second and most important reason as to why you are a diamond to God is because of the price that was paid for you and for me, for every person on the face of this universe. Now, let me ask you this question. How is the value of any item determined? How is the value of any item determined? I've got this watch on me. That's it, the purchase price. This is a Timex Expedition. All right? How much do you think I paid for this? Yeah, about $35, more or less. So what is the value of this Timex Expedition watch? $35. Why is it worth $35? Because the price paid for it was $35. Right? Make sense? All right. This jacket, what do you think it's worth? Friend back here bought it for me. One of my birthdays. What is this worth?
$20.
No, more than that. It's a nice little Gap jacket here. It's worth about $50, more or less. About $50. So what's the value of this jacket? Right, and how do you determine the value of that jacket being $50? Because of the amount of dollars that was paid for it. So, to apply it to us personally, how is our value determined? How is your value and my value determined in the eyes of God? The price that was paid for us. Friend, let me ask you today, what was the price that was paid for you and for me? Okay? Even more specific than that. What was the price that was paid for you and for me 2,000 years ago? The blood of the spotless, precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundations of this earth. Turn to 1 Peter 1, verse 18. Verses 18 and 19. You can follow along with me or I'll read it to you. 1 Peter 1, 18. This is what it says. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. So we were not redeemed with perishable things. That lasts just a little while. But verse 19, here's the key. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. What price was paid for us? The price paid for us was the invaluable blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shed his blood 2,000 years ago to pay for your sins and my sins. He shed his blood 2,000 years ago to redeem us, to buy us back out of the kingdom of darkness that we were once entrapped in. It took the blood of Jesus to buy us out of the kingdom of darkness that you and I were once in. It took the blood of infinite worth, the blood of invaluable worth, to pay for you and for me. Why? Why did it take the blood of invaluable worth, of infinite worth, to pay for you and for me? Why did it take the blood of infinite worth to pay for us? Because our worth is infinite in the eyes of God. We are invaluable to God. Is that making sense? It took the blood of invaluable worth to pay for us because our worth is invaluable. You cannot put a limit on it. Is that making sense? Making sense. All right. Because of your great worth, because you are a diamond to God, friend, I'm here to tell you today that you have got a part to play in the body of Christ that only you can fulfill. That's supposing that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you said at one point, Jesus be my Savior and my Lord, then guess what? You are now a part of the body of Christ. And as a part of the body of Christ, you've got a special role to fulfill that only you, and that only you, and that only you, and that only you guys can fulfill. That special part that nobody else can, only you can fulfill it, because you are of such great worth in the sight of God. Is that making sense? Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Paul talks about the body of Christ and likens it to a human body. And this is what he says in verses 14 through 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 14, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Could you imagine the whole body just one big round eye? That's kind of strange to imagine that, right? Bouncing from place to place. No, the body is not one big eye. There's many parts that make up for the good functioning of the entire body, right? Then he goes on to say in verse 17, if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Could you imagine your whole body is one big ear? Just prancing from place to place? No, it takes more than just an ear to make up for the good functioning of any body, right? It takes many parts. Let's jump down to verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 12. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts? Friend, there's a part in the body of Christ that only you can fulfill. And in the body of Christ, you might be the eyes where God is giving you spiritual discernment. The lady working with the kids next door in room 127, Sandy, is like the eyes almost in the body of Christ. She's written a book called Angels All Around Us. I read the book. It's an awesome book. And God has given her sight into the spiritual realm where she has actually seen angels, and angels that have come to her aid in so many different instances. Some people in the body of Christ are the eyes. They can see ahead. They can see forward. They can see into the spiritual realm. Maybe in the body of Christ, you're the ears. And you can hear the voice of God clearly speaking to your spirit. Maybe God is speaking to you and saying, you need to reach out to that person over there in that city, at that home, on that street. Because if you don't, that person is going to take his life, is going to take her life. And if you're the ears in the body of Christ and God speaks to you, then you need to act on it. But if you don't act on it and you don't fulfill your special part as the ear in the body of Christ, that person that should have been saved may lose their life. You see, without you doing your part in the body of Christ will suffer. Is that making sense? Maybe you're the hands in the body of Christ. Call to the ministry of helps. Maybe you're called to help cook in the back kitchen, or maybe called to help serve the food. Maybe you're called to help put out these chairs before a service, or maybe to pick up the chairs after the service. And you know what? If you're not doing your special part as the hands in the body of Christ, people that should have a seat to sit down in might not have that seat. People that should have food to eat might not have food to eat. You see, without you doing your special part in the body of Christ, what happens? The body of Christ suffers. Friends, you might be a mouth in the body of Christ. What does a mouth do? It communicates, it talks. Maybe God has called you to a public ministry of evangelism. Or maybe God has called you to a group of people to share His gospel with. It may be to a gang-related group. It may be to a group in another country. You know, God may have called you to speak to a group of only, maybe it's a group of only 50 people. And He's telling you, share my gospel with your mouth to these people, with these people. If you don't share it, you don't do your special part in the body of Christ. Guess what? The people that should have been saved may not be saved, and they will suffer. You see, people around you suffer if you're not fulfilling your special part in the body of Christ. And each and every single one of you have a special part to play in the body of Christ. If Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, don't let anybody or anything tell you differently. You've got a special part to play. Say it with me today. I have a special part to fulfill in the body of Christ. And guess what, friends? You have a special part to fulfill in this world because you are so valuable to God. You have a special part to fulfill in this world for the advancement of the kingdom of God. You know, I've heard it said this way one time, and you might have heard this. If you know it, don't answer it, okay? But where is the wealthiest place in this world? If you haven't heard this question before, then try to answer it. Where is the wealthiest place in this world? Anybody have any guesses?
Heaven.
Yes, sir.
Do you know?
Anybody else?
Mine.
Where is it?
Mine. Grave.
She got it. She got it on the first. Did you hear before?
What?
She said, if you didn't hear it, anybody else have a guess? She said it. Maybe some of you didn't hear. Anybody have a guess? Where's the wealthiest place in the world?
The mine.
Okay, he says the mine. Anybody else? She said it. She said the graveyard. The graveyard is the wealthiest place in this world. You might be wondering today now, why is the cemetery, the graveyard, the wealthiest place in this world? Why is the graveyard the wealthiest place in this world? Anybody? Okay, anybody else? Why is the graveyard the wealthiest place in this world? That's it. Okay. Let me put it this way. There is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. There are people in the graveyard that had a special part to fulfill in the body of Christ in the world that never fulfilled it. People that should have started Christian colleges outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and other cities, and other parts of the world that never did. People that should have written books to advance the kingdom of God that never wrote those books. People that should have been nurses and doctors and lawyers sharing the gospel within their spheres of influence that never became a nurse, a doctor, or a lawyer. People that should have started businesses, companies, corporations to help advance the kingdom of God never started those companies, businesses, and corporations. There is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. And friend, I don't want to be another graveyard statistic. How about you? Say it with me. I don't want to be another graveyard statistic. I want to fulfill my potential in this world with God's grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you this question to hitch on to that. Is it possible that those people in the graveyard never fulfilled their potential because they did not see themselves in a positive light? Could it be that they had such low self-esteem that they felt they could do a push-up, if you would, under a penny? They felt so small about themselves. They didn't feel good about themselves. And thus they never fulfilled their special part in the body and in the world. Is it possible that those people never fulfilled their part in this world because they didn't feel good about themselves? Remember this, Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh within his heart, so is he. Friends, you've got to stop seeing yourself according to the negative words others have spoken over your life. You've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you, according to His written word. You've got to look into the mirror of God's word. And when you look into the mirror of God's word, it'll reflect back to you how valuable you are to God and in this world. Again, let me say it. Stop seeing yourself according to the negative words and negative things people have done in your life. Start seeing yourself according to how God sees you. How does God see you? That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah 29:11, God has a plan. He's got a hope. He's got a future. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got something for you to do. Start seeing yourself according to the written Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
God's got something special for you to do, friends. And remember this, what you speak over yourself on a consistent basis, you'll start believing about yourself. What you speak over yourself on a consistent basis, you'll begin believing about yourself. So every time you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror, how many here wake up and look in the mirror just about every morning? Talk to yourself a little bit. Start speaking God's word over your life. I am a diamond to God. I am so valuable because God thinks I am so valuable. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I will fulfill the special purpose God has for my life. Speak it over your life every single day. And friend, you will start believing it. And as you start thinking of yourself that way, you will start acting toward yourself the way God wants you to act. You'll start fulfilling the special thing God has for your life. Does that make sense? But we have a responsibility. You and I have a responsibility. Yes, we have to start seeing ourselves according to God's word, but we've also got to reach out to others. I watched a movie last night, and it was called To Save a Life. Don't know if you guys ever watched it. Good Christian movie, and
excellent
movie. Okay, if you have a chance, it's at the Cinemark at 71st and Memorial. It's called To Save a Life. One of the main characters in the movie was a young black man called Roger Dawson. He's about 17 or 18 years old. And the sad thing about it is that Roger Dawson just never felt like he fit in with the other students and people at the school. He just kind of felt like he was out of place. And people always shrugged him aside, made him feel like he wasn't worth anything, made him feel that he was not valuable. And he was trying to talk to people. He was trying to reach out to people, but people just shoved him aside. No, he's like, nobody ever paid any attention to me. So guess what he did? One day he came to school with a gun. He said, now people will pay attention to this. So he takes his gun, points it up, shoots it two or three times, and then the sad thing is this. He puts it under his chin and shoots himself. He committed suicide. Why? Because he was never made to feel important and valuable. There was another young man in the movie who was a friend of his. I think his name was Jake, who kind of regretted the fact that he never reached out more to Roger Dawson. And anyway, so I told you that story to say this, that we have a responsibility, friends, to make other people feel valuable and important. So you might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, you know what? I don't feel so good about myself. I don't feel very important myself. How could I reach out and make somebody else feel important? Friends, guess what? There is somebody out there today, tomorrow, the next week, the next month, who feels lower than you do. Who feels worse about themselves than you do. You can reach out to that person and say, you know what? God loves you and I believe in you. And those words could change a person's life. Those words could stop a person from committing suicide. So we have a responsibility. You guys have a responsibility to make other people feel valuable. There's somebody out there that needs Christ's love through you. Needs to feel like a VIP through you. Amen?
Amen.
Say it today with me. I will reach out this week and make somebody else feel
like a VIP.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Kevin Conwell's got a real brief word here concerning this brief message that I share today.
In the parables, it talked about a woman who lost a coin, actually called a darrel. And she lost this coin, she swept the entire house. And she swept the entire house, she found that coin. She called all her friends together and they came and rejoiced with her. Why? Because what was lost in the house was found. Another parable talks about when a man lost a sheep, out of 100, he lost one. That means he had 99. He left the 99 to go find the one. That one was more valuable to him than the other 99, or as equal value, right? When God looks upon you, He rejoices because He sees you as being valuable to Him. Some of you are like lost sheep. He goes out and He wants to pick you up and put you over His shoulders and carry you back to the flock because He loves you. Some of you are like a lost coin. He'll sweep the house clean until He finds you. And He'll call all of heaven and rejoice over you. Amen. Because you're valuable.
Amen.
Today is the day you make a decision. That decision, am I valuable to God? Yes or no? Will I accept this salvation that He has given to me? Should I take this? Because He found me so valuable, He swept the entire universe or the entire house just to find me.
Amen.
I'll leave you with that.
That's awesome.
Amen.
God loves you so very much. He'll never stop loving you guys. He's not the God of one chance or two chances or three chances. He is the God who never gives up on anybody in this world. He always loves you. His love is abounding. His mercies are everlasting.